Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, pour your grace over us and through us so the power of your love will be the power of faith in Christ. As you love, may we love. As you showed compassion for us as powerless sinners, may we likewise show compassion for broken, hurting souls. I pray in the Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to share with you a weekend of my life for many years past. I believe it was either the fall of 94, yeah, it was the fall of 94 most likely, 1994. And I trust that this little example from my own life will point you in the direction of understanding of the greatness of God's grace and the greatness of God's love. After working several summers at Lutheran Memorial Camp in various leadership roles, and then also helping on weekend retreats through the fall and winter months, occasionally I'd get the phone call to come up and be a host for a weekend retreat at the camp. Now, a host for a weekend retreat was someone who knew the camp, at least wouldn't get lost on the 400-plus acres, but also would be able to meet any needs of the group that's there. Can you get this for us? Can you show us this? And so I was the host for weekend retreats occasionally. And it was really one weekend that stands out in my mind all those years ago. I had to pack my computer from my apartment at seminary, along with my clothes and gear for the weekend because I had papers to work on while I was up at camp. And I set my shelves up in the cabin known as the Shepherd's Fold. And then I awaited the arrival of the group. And then the group started coming in cars, they came in vans, and at least one motorcycle too for this fall retreat. And I welcomed them and I helped them and directed them to their various cabins where they're staying. Little did I know at those first introductions how deep some of the conversations would come over the weekend. The group was an AA group. They're bringing people to camp for a more intensive time of conversation in those broken lives. And the group was filled with a spectrum of people from older in years to as young as 18 years old. Some had been in AA for decades and others for just a few days. Others also had problem of drugs in their lives. Such brokenness, seeking hope, was in the newer hearts, and encouragement and compassion from the others, showing that, yes, there is hope. Such grace, such compassion and genuine love for a hurting life, offering hope. Conversation after conversation with various leaders of the group, they all shared similar experiences. And I encourage you to listen carefully and learn as I learned from them. I really do mean pay attention to what they say, because one after another they shared similar experiences. This is what they shared. Listen carefully. They experienced more grace in AA group than they experienced in a church. That stunned me when I heard it then. And that wasn't the only time I've heard that. And I've heard that through the years. In these AA groups, broken lives experience more grace than they experience in church. You see, they freely admit they are broken and weak people in need of God's grace. And they know it is by God's grace, daily grace, even that moment-to-moment grace that keeps them going. They know they can call on someone to come and enter into that moment of pain, just as that glass is being lifted to their lips or that needle is poised to poke into their arm. Help me! And help comes. And the help comes filled with compassion. As always, I had my guitar with me, and I played some songs for them to just help fill time for them too. And two particular songs that I played for them, one they asked for was Amazing Grace, to just be able to sing that in that setting. And then I introduced them to the song, The Touch of the Master's Hand. Do you know the power of God's grace for a sinner's broken soul? Do you know that in your own soul? God's grace. Do you know that same grace is for other people's souls? The song, The Touch of the Master's Hand, is about an old violin at auction that no one wants. The bidding interest is lacking $1, $2. Can I have three? And then a gray-haired man comes forward and picks up the old violin, dices it off, tightens up the strings, and he proceeds to play an extraordinarily beautiful melody with the old violin. And the crowd and the auctioneer, they are simply stunned into silence. Then the auctioneer begins the bidding again. Who will give me 1,000? Who will give me 2,000? 3,000? Make it 4. And so the people cried out, what made the change? It was the touch of the Master's hand. And this portion of the song is what really carries the meaning home. Now you know there's many a man with his life out of tune, battered and scarred with sin, and he's auctioned cheap to a thankless world, much like that old violin. Then the master comes and the old foolish crowd, they never understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Never forget Christ died for the ungodly. Never forget Christ died for sinners. Christ died for broken people with broken hearts and broken lives and broken souls. While we were powerless, while we could do nothing about sin in our own life, we were lost. While we were helpless, Christ died for us. Perhaps the reason grace is so easily and freely offered in AA is they know how completely and utterly powerless they are. And it's just by God's grace they get through the day. Perhaps it's time for each one of us to understand the truth about our sin in our hearts and how utterly powerless we really are. To change our hearts. And it's only by God's grace that you are forgiven and your heart is made new. Only by God's grace. I am a sinner in need of God's grace daily, moment by moment. And you are a sinner in need of God's grace daily, moment by moment. Each one of us needs moment by moment to acknowledge our great need of God's grace. And as we realize more and more how much we need His grace, we'll see our lives in different eyes. And like the Apostle Paul says, we can say about ourselves, I am the worst sinner. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And this is what Paul says about himself, of whom I am the worst. Paul continued, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. In other words, what God's grace has done in me, the worst of sinners, God's mercy has done in me, the worst of sinners, and changed my life, God's grace and mercy will do the same in your life. When we fail to remember that Christ came to save sinners, we fail to have compassion for others. That compassion that Christ and the Father had for us is also for them. We become more akin to the Pharisees complaining about Jesus eating with tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners than being similar to Jesus and sitting down and showing compassion for the lost. Just as the sick need a doctor, Jesus said, he came to call sinners. Now, this is hard. It is hard to live the Christian faith full of grace and compassion. But that's what we are called to do. That is what we are called to be as the church. We are called by the Lord to love as he loves, to love the lost, the broken, the ungodly, demonstrating love through compassion and mercy, balanced with demonstrating with love through speaking the truth. Growing into that kind of mature Christian faith takes a lifetime. Sometimes love is an intervention. Sometimes love is sharing tears of brokenness. Sometimes love is putting our needs after the needs of another who doesn't know Christ. Sometimes love is sitting and listening as another empties his soul's pain, and we, ready with mercy and grace and tears of sorrow too. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We hear these verses often at weddings, and as a result, we may tend to think they apply specifically to the marriage covenant. Yes, they do apply to the covenant of marriage between husband and wife. More than that, these verses apply to the heart of a Christian, so that each Christian grows into this kind of love for all people. Mature love that truly loves brothers and sisters in Christ in the church through all the ups and downs of sharing life together as brothers and sisters in Christ. At the same time, this mature love also grows to love the ungodly, to love sinners outside of the church just as deeply. It's not easy. But that is what we're called to be as the church. The church is the body of Christ. And as such, we are to love as Christ loved. Do you understand the church exists for the unchurched, for sinners, for the ungodly? A country club makes decisions based on what is best for its members. A church makes decisions based on what is best to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are not members, to those who don't know Christ, to the sinners, ungodly, lost, broken lives. A church makes decisions based on their needs, not our needs, on their needs. A local congregation exists does not exist for itself, but for the lost souls. It is to reach for Christ. We are entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we don't share this redeeming word of compassion, grace, and truth, who will? If you don't share, who will? There's a little story. It's about four people. The names of the four people are these: everybody, somebody, anybody, nobody. Okay, did you got that? The four names are everybody, somebody, anybody, nobody. Those are the four in the story. Okay, this is how the story goes. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Would you like to hear that again? Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Jesus went from town to town, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, healing sickness and disease. Jesus had compassion on them, for they are harassed and helpless people. And then Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The harvest begins in the home. Fathers, lead the way. Talk about sharing the love of Christ. Be the spiritual head of the family. Make real the Christian faith. Fathers, talk faith stuff around the dinner table. Make Jesus talk a normal, everyday happening in your home, in the car, on vacation, wherever you are. Fathers, make Jesus talk normal. Fathers, you love your children. Well, then give them the greatest gift, a living, saving faith in Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important to give your child than Jesus Christ. This includes instilling a love of worship with the body of Christ each week. This also includes generosity and tithes and offering, making concrete the importance of worshiping the Lord. Fathers, lead the way. And especially demonstrate love towards brothers and sisters in Christ, and demonstrate love towards all people in word and in action. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That was God demonstrating love, sacrificial love, giving the best for the benefit of the worst. Let that sink in. God gave His very best for the worst of sinners, for all sinners. The church is being the church when we make so real this grace and mercy and compassion of God. This love of God, real, intangible words and actions. It's not easy. It means to become different people by His grace and by His Holy Spirit living in us. But it is worth reaching for. There is healing here for the hurting heart. There is salvation here for the broken, lost soul. For Christ is here demonstrating His love in us and demonstrating His love through us. So I leave you with this on Father's Day. Remember the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. Remember a life redeemed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.